camp. I sure appreciate Brother Donnie bringing his folks tonight. And I don't appreciate what he says about me, but I just let him talk. Lord, get even with him. I, the Lord, rebuke thee. Open your Bible, please, to Psalms, if you would, in Psalms chapter 42. Psalms chapter 42. You know, I get tickled. Brother Don tonight, he and his wife took us out, and we went and ate. And he's telling me about he's going to retire. Retire. And then I heard that Brother Noble's going to retire. Ain't that pitiful? You got to get that word. Retire. Brother Noble, Brother Don, this is just for you. Hey, Brother Donnie, this is for us that's over 60. Now listen, Brother Larry, you ain't in this crap. Listen, growing old. He said, I'm growing old, but what the heck? He said, my face is wrinkled, but so's my neck. My legs are stiff and I can't run. Going to bed is just old fun. I love to talk, but it don't make no sense. He says, I washed my hair and I just forgot to rinse. See, well, that don't go to you either. I can't remember to take my pill. I watch a movie and I think the thing's real. I need a tub bath, there's no doubt. I finally got in, but now I can't get out. Pay attention. Then he says, today's a day that I hang my head. Will I stay up or will I go to bed? I lock myself out, I just can't seem to win. Was I going out or was I coming in? All of you over 60, say amen right there, Brother Jay. How many of you in this building would be honest? How many of you have ever got up from the living room, go in the kitchen and stand there for a moment and say, well, Miss Sharon raised the first one, raised her hand. She didn't let me finish a sentence. How many of you get up in the living room, go in the kitchen and stand there for a moment and say, you got a lot to look forward to, son. That ain't happened to you yet? How many of y'all sit at a red light and sit there and thought, where am I going? Hey, I travel so much. Sometimes I drive 8-10 hours. And when I get in, next morning I wake up and I think, where am I at? For a split second I do, I think, where am I at? You know what I've been thinking about doing? I am thinking about getting my bed and hooking it to my car and just pulling it down the road. I love my bed. I do. I love my bed. That woman I live with, I am so glad God moved on her heart. You know, you was talking about praying, and God ever answered your prayer. Hey, brother, let me ask you, brother Noel, has God ever answered your prayer? Boy, I'm so glad God answered mine. I used to pray, my wife, I'd say, now she and I have been married 45 years, and I'd say, Lord, would you please speak to her, get her to where she won't move the furniture all the time. I know y'all don't believe that. Used to, I'd come in, and I'm telling you the truth, it's a woman thing, Brother Gene. They move the furniture. Well, I guess it's not down here. They move the furniture. Move it from here, over there. Move it there, over here. Move it over there. I told Mary, I said, I don't care what you move in this house. Leave the bed alone. Come in about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning trying to find the bed. God answered that prayer. She don't move that bed. I got it anchored to the floor. I'm in Psalms chapter 42, please, tonight. This is Wednesday night. I'm going to try my best to be a help and a blessing to you. Psalm 42, let's read together, if you would, in your Bible, in verses 1. Now read along with me. Don't take your eyes off your Bible. Now everybody that I read after readily agrees that this Psalms here was when David was having all the problems in his life. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Look if you would in verses 4. When I remembered these things, I pour out my soul unto thee, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept the holy day. Then he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou so disquieted in me? Then watch this. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. Then he says, from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizpah, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All of thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Verse 9, I'll say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, and mine enemies approach me, where they say daily, where is thy God? Verse 11, then he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42, verses 1 down through verse 11. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come to the house of God. As David of old said, Lord, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Lord, I pray tonight, make me a blessing. Hide me behind the cross. May I, Lord, preach the unsearchable riches. And then, Lord, hide me, oh, dear God, and may they hear that small, still voice. And then, Spirit of God, you're the most welcome guest. Thank you again for Jesus now. We pray in his name. Amen. The last couple of days, I've been preaching to the high school students on how real is God to you. Now, get that down inside of you. On how real is God to you? Personally, I mean, how real is to you? I told them this morning, or yesterday, I believe it was, I told them most people never check a spare tire until they have a flat. And then they say, boy, I hope that spare tire's up. Most people never just check the spare tire until they have a flat tire. Most people never think about an umbrella except my wife. Hey, we don't get in a car. And it can be 90 degrees outside. She'll say, did you get the umbrella? I said, no, that's your job. Most people never think about an umbrella until it's raining. Most people never give God a thought until there's some kind of problem in their life. Here in this text in Psalm 42, if you look back in verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's one time. Look down in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's twice. Chapter 43 in verses 5, then he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What I want to do tonight, I want to preach on this subject, on how do you get up when you're down? I don't guess y'all ever been like me. Let me say that again. On how do you get up when you're down? Now let's just be honest. Just be honest. Our surroundings affect us. There's a whole lot of things out here that affects me. These political things just bother me. I told somebody, I said, I get in trouble all this stuff, but it don't bother me. Check the word out, politics. Hey, I seen where they spent $191 million, one candidate. The other one spent $141 million. Now we know why that this thing just keeps going and going and going, because now over $300+ million in our economy. Listen to this. I told them, I said, that word politics. Hit though. You look at the rendering of the word, and the word poly means many, and tick is a bloodsucker. Hey, man. They're bleeding us dry. But I'm saying there's a lot of things that affect me. I'll be honest with you, and I want you to go back. I thought about how and what's going on in our society. One, there's a decline in spirituality. And when I'm talking about spirituality, I'm not talking about running the back of the pews and swinging from the chandelier. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real deep spirituality. Brother, we're lacking it today. You don't hear very many amens, glory, hallelujah, bless the name of God. You don't hear very much of that. A man called me today, and he said, I give him some tapes. I've been sending out tape for 20-plus years of my life. And this man, he said, Brother Sisson, give me all the tapes that you can give me, and I'll distribute them. And I told him, I said, in 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says we are co-laborers together with him. I told him, I said, we got to put the seed. And I believe this. I believe the word of God is a seed. Amen. But listen to this. He called me today. He gave these old rough guys these tapes. This guy wore the tape out. He said, boy, that preacher, that tape bothered me. He said, well, how much did it bother you? He said, it bothered me enough that I got saved. Amen. Amen. My point is watch this. Our day and time, you see, somehow or another, this decline in spirituality. Years gone by in churches, they used to have amen corners. Years gone by. And the older, what they call the elders of the church, they'd sit over there and they would ag that preacher on. Amen, 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 amen. But I'm saying our day and time, our minds are so distant from the Word of God. We come into the house of God. I believe it was Brother Larry said what he said a moment ago. What I'm saying is our minds are so divided. Will y'all agree with that? Our minds are so out yonder, and our minds is on making a living and trying to keep the corners up and trying to take care of the kids. Say amen. And taxes keep going up and up and up and up and up. And them things all affect us. And we come in the house of God, and most of us look like a bunch of zombies. Gets a little better. Decline in spirituality. And then I thought about this, the departure from the faith. That bothers me. I never seen so many people departing from the faith in all of my life. I'm talking about people that in years gone by used to be what I call Bible believers. I'm talking about men that, walked a straight line, preached. I mean, hey, watch it. Our day and time, they're deviating, they're divided, they're departing. Oh, my God. I know, I understand the Bible, a little of it. I know that that's got to be before Christ comes, but it still affects me. Brother, it affects me when men that I've known 40 years of my life have literally quit preaching. That bothers me. I thought about this. Then I thought about how this desensitizing. That bothers me. Oh, you don't want to know how that gets a hold of me. This, hey, let's just be honest. Let's be honest. I screamed and yelled and hollered in 1968 and 69. They're putting out the same way that we have all these sodomites today is how they've done it in 68 and 69 on television concerning abortion. They kept it in front of our faces and kept it before the news media and kept it in everything. And any preacher that had any God in him at all, guess what he done? He cried out against abortion. But you don't hear that much anymore. I'm saying we've gotten so used to it till we've been so desensitized that it don't even bother us. How about 2 years down the road? Let's accelerate time to 2 years down the road. Let's just accelerate time. I wonder what we'll be talking about. I wonder how states are already ratifying sodomites. Say amen to me. Now that it's even in the realm to where they're now ordaining them to the ministry. Ain't that pitiful? Say amen to me. Boy, are y'all on something again tonight? They're ordaining this bunch. Now then they're saying, well, just maybe, perhaps, there's a missing gene. Maybe they was born that way. Look up here. They was not born that way. But you see, the media and your liberals out here, they keep this before our, well, just maybe there's a missing gene. Just maybe they were born that way. How many of y'all agree with this? That the longer it's done, the more people that do it, pretty soon it becomes what? Accept it. Amen, Brother Simpson. Oh, may God help us. Decent television. Do I have one? Look up here. Yes. You ought to put on the thing, 1 Corinthians 10. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The thing's got a button. Turn it off. I would hate to think that I didn't have no more control of my inner man than sit there and watch some of that junk that people watch. Brother Noble, I remember used to that if people used the word SOB in the house that I was, where my grandpa, he would show them the front door. But now then, it don't bother nobody. Especially if it's John Wayne. I was ordered out of a house over John Wayne. Look at y'all. You just want to look at me a while? Ain't that pitiful? They use the word GD. We're being slowly desensitized till where nothing bothers us. We have watched so much nudity. We watched so much disrobing. Say amen. I mean, I'm talking about things we're living in this time when all these things bother. I'm talking about if you walk with God and you try to live right, these things affect you. Amen. Desensitizing. I told Brother Lawrence, he didn't reply. So let me see if I can get some action from you. I seen where that in Fayette County in Lexington, Kentucky, which how far is that from here? Lexington. 2 hours? Three? 3 hours from here, Lexington, Kentucky. The archdiocese in Covington and Newport came down to Fayette County and they whined and dined and negotiated and gave the people there in Fayette County $47.5 million. $47.5 million gave it to the families of those priests to where they had raped their boys. Guess what they'll do? They'll move them someplace else. Oh, did I say that? I ain't taking it back. But you see, these pedophiles, it gets a little better. Then I thought about this deepening of wickedness in our society. And it's everywhere. I've never seen nothing. Look here, let me tell you this. I preach a lot in Pineville, North Carolina. That's right outside of Charlotte. And the preacher there, I've been with him every year for years, and he said, "Preacher, would you go with me over to the Charlotte Memorial Hospital?" I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Let me change my shirt." I went over and changed my shirt. He and I got in the car. Let's just say that's around, say, 9:30 or maybe a quarter after 9. By the time we got to downtown Charlotte, maybe a quarter, maybe 20 minutes till 10, I don't know. When we got there, there was absolutely no cars, none whatsoever, in downtown Charlotte. There's no cars, none whatsoever, in downtown Charlotte, North Carolina, of a night. Let me tell you why. Of all the drive-by shootings, they have so many, you can't believe it. And here we are down there. I told that preacher, I said, "If they shoot you, I hope I find a way to get home." Listen to this. We got to the hospital. God is my witness. We got to the hospital, and they had lockdown. Every door was locked in Charlotte Memorial Hospital, and the only way you could get in the hospital is you have to go through the emergency room, and then you have to go through two security guards that are standing there at the emergency room. And the only way you're going to get in there is you have to show your ID, you have to sign who you're going to go see, and guess what? They've had so many rapings, they've had so many assaults in the Charlotte Memorial Hospital. What are you trying to get me to see, brother sister? There's a deepening of wickedness in our society. We call them home invasions. Ain't that pitiful? They take an elderly couple and they case them and wait and look and wait and look. They live off the road somewhere. And then they go in and kick the door down, go in on them, and then they'll gun whip them, beat them half to death. Ain't that pitiful? Say amen to me. What in the name of heaven could an 80-year-old man do to a 200-pound man? If that 80-year-old man got a gun, he might put him... But I'm saying there's a deepening of wickedness in our society. In a year's gone by, I'm talking about people would be up in arms over what's going on. Another thing, this disloyalty, that bothers me. Disloyalty to Christ, disloyalty to His church, disloyalty to the commission. Why did God, I've asked him this morning, why did God save you? Why did God save you? Well, brother, since you saved me, take me to heaven. Then he took you the moment he saved you. That's not true. He left you here to fulfill the Great Commission. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 42. Everybody. In my years, how do you get up when you're down? And don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Sometimes we all get down. Now, I'm not talking about breakdancing either. Say amen right there. Sometimes we all just have days of blue. Sometimes it don't always... As a general rule, I feel good most every day of my life. What's wrong with this bunch? It's because you're sitting up there. As a general rule, now I have bad days, Sister Helen, I do. Sometimes there's a dark cloud hang over my head, and it ain't merry. Sometimes I just don't have a good day. Say amen to me. But how do you get up when you're down? How do you do that? Let's go back just for a moment. I want to show you the problem. Let me show you this. In Psalm 42, three times he says, "O thou my soul," he says, "why art thou cast down?" I begin to put it in mind. We spend billions of dollars annually on depression. Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in the Lord." Let's go back for a moment. How many of y'all remember a man by the name of Elijah? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all remember that Elijah crawled up underneath a juniper tree and requested of God to die? Elijah got depressed. How about Jeremiah? Amen, Brother Sisson. How about the man we're reading here in Psalm 42? I thought about Jonah. Jonah wanted to die. Moses, he even went to God and said, God, just kill me. How about John the Baptist? Oh, John got to baptize the Son of God. He even heard the voice that came from heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I well please. Hey, watch this. And even the Spirit come down in the form of a dove, and John's in the water with the Son of God. But now check it out. When it comes time for John to die, John's in prison. He sins and says, art thou he, or should we look for another? He's down. How do you get down, Brother Sisson, how do you get up when you get down? Listen to this. I thought about men like Paul, the Apostle Paul. I thought about John the Baptist. I thought about David. The great Winston Churchill in years gone by. Did you know he was the one in World War II? Did you know Winston Churchill had fits of depression? Did you know in his own autobiography, he says there's a black dog that follows me everywhere I go. There was times in his life that Winston Churchill had fits of depression. How about Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher of years gone by, had fits of depression. What was it quiet in here tonight? Then I thought about this one. I thought about men like Martin Luther. Did you know he also had fits of depression? Because they didn't know what it was. How about Abraham Lincoln? How about him, the 16th president of the United States? Abraham Lincoln had fits of depression. He'd go into reclusion, shut the door. He lost so many times elections. And watch this, he would get to the point in his life, I'm talking about, and he relates back to his mother, but I'm saying Abraham Lincoln had depression, amen. I know you don't ever get depressed. Listen to this, the problem, sometimes look in verse 1 and 2, it's what I call spiritual dryness. Look in verse 1 and 2. He says, has the heart paineth after the water of thee, so paineth my soul after thee, O God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God. What do you say, Brother Sisson? I'm trying to get you to see there's times in our life when we get depressed. Why is it, Brother Sisson? It's what I call spiritual dryness comes in our life. Brother, sometimes it's hard for me to keep all the corners up. Okay. And then I thought about emotionally we get disturbed. We'll get into that in a moment. You do have emotions, don't you? I don't have no emotions. Well, some of y'all just about past feeling, I can tell that. But sometimes, not only spiritual dryness comes in our life, but we get what I call emotionally disturbed. That bothers people when I say that. Some of y'all saying, you really are disturbed. I know it. But I'm happy. There's times in our life, I'm talking about why do we have these clouds of, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, my name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I know He holds to my hand, I know that, I know my name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but there's times in my life, Miss Kathy, that I have what I call spiritual dryness comes into my life. There's times that I'm telling you before God, I read every day of my life, I read the Word of God. I don't mean that for you to think any more or less of me. I try to pray, I try to read, I try to witness, but there's still times in my life that I get what I call spiritual dryness in my comes in my life. And there's sometimes I get emotionally disturbed. This thing of not the sense of inadequacy, the sense of not feeling that you can accomplish. Boy, I hate to let people down. But I'll tell you something worse than that. It's knowing you let the Lord down. Oh, I hate that feeling worse than anything in the world. Say amen. Boy, I hate to let people down, and I try my best not to do that. Then there's a third reason I believe why we have the problem. It's what I call distress comes into our life. What do you mean? Sometimes, now I believe this, whether you do or not. I believe, dear God, if you've got a good doctor that loves God, you ought to shout, hallelujah, thank God for a good doctor. That was pitiful. Luke was a physician. Boy, I'm so glad, boy, we got some men in our church that love God, that are doctors. How long has it been since y'all seen the doctor? Who's got a great big Bible? Well, that's about as big as one I can find. That's pretty good. But the one I'm talking about that he carries is about twice as big. I can go over to the hospital to make a visit. He'd be coming down the hall dressed in his, whatever he's dressed in, got that little stethoscope around his neck, and he'll always have a King James Bible. Ain't that a blessing? And guess what they'll do, Brother Jay? You're going to have surgery, and Michael Cetek will open the Word of God and lay it up on you and pray over you before he does anything. That's a blessing, ain't it? Yeah. I think I'd go ahead and say, go ahead and cut on me something. Okay. Do you understand what I just said? There's nothing. I'll show you just a moment. Sometimes we all get what I call physically just distressed. We get torn in every direction. Say amen. This Psalm's here in Psalm 42. Write this down for me right quick. It was a time when David's kingdom had been overthrown in his life. It was a time when Saul was trying to kill him. Thirdly, it was also a time when Absalom, his son, had killed Amnon, his brother. There's all kinds of problems going on in David's family. I'll tell you something else. Amnon had raped his half-sister. Then listen to this. David had lost a child in 2 Samuel 12. All of these things had piled in on David. How do you get up when you get down, Brother Sisson? So we find the problem. Now let me show you this. Turn to Psalm 147 with me, please, and I want everybody to underscore this verse, please. Psalm 147, and look in verse 3, please. Everybody. The problem is sometimes we have spiritual dryness. Sometimes we get emotionally disturbed. Sometimes we get physically just distressed. How many of you have ever been so tore up that you could not sleep? Would you raise your hand? That's not my wife. I tell her, honestly, look here. I'm telling you, sometimes I could choke her. Send her a tape, Miss Patton. We can get ready to go to bed. She can sit. She's sitting there. She's got her gown on. She's going to bed, right? And by the time her head hits the pillow, she's in another world. I'm laying over her wide awake thinking about everything. And I'm thinking, why don't she wake up and talk to me? Oh! Then you know what I want to kill her for? She says, get your heart right, you can do that. I envy people that can do that. I envy people that can just do that. Now, I'm not geared that way. Takes me a little while to wind down. Say amen. My spring ain't broke either. But there's times that it takes me a little while. Say amen. Now, there's times. Now, I got to show you Psalm 147. Look in verses 3, please, and I want you to underscore this verse with me. If you don't need this verse, now you're going to need it. Look, if you would, in verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart. Now watch. And he bindeth up their wounds. When my boy died, when Nathan got killed, I ain't told too many people this, I ain't shared it with too many people. We about lost our minds. I'm just telling you the God's honest truth. He was our baby boy. Brother Jay, I about lost my mind. I did. I about lost my mind. Thinking every kind of thought in the world, you probably don't understand what I mean by that, do you? I mean, every kind of thought in the world was going through my mind. Mainly did he have to suffer. All kinds of things. You see, this death was untrodden territory for me. It was virgin territory. I'd never been down that road. I'd never lost a son. Say amen to me. Well, I about lost my mind. Boy, and I thank God for people that come to our aid and rode us and helped us. God only knows until we get to heaven how that one of these days. It says, he healeth the broken in heart. My kids, literally, some of y'all, Brother Larch was there, a lot of you people, they pulled the garage door down and literally made us leave. My phone rang constantly, constantly rang of a night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there was absolutely no way in the God's name that I could answer all them phone calls. My kids run us off. We went to, anybody ever been to Cage Cove in Tennessee? I don't know what the draw was. If you ain't never been there, you ought to go. Am I right, brother? It's beautiful, isn't it? I wished I owned that 11 miles. You go in that one gate and you come back out the same gate. I wished I owned that 11 miles. Put me a fence up there and I'd say, don't worry about the dogs, worry about the gun. Me and my wife, and you ought to go there sometime. It's beautiful. It's the most picturesque. It got old cabins. You ought to go there. It's just me and my wife. Nathan was killed in March. She and I went up there and I laid a blanket down right on the side of the road. Up in a little, right on the side of the road, up just on the hillside. And we laid there for hours and hours in each other's arms and cried. See, I don't expect you to understand that. I don't expect you to understand that. He healeth the broken in heart. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Do you know people? I didn't know this till everybody thought that they thought I'd just fold up and give in. Untold people told me, "We thought your preaching days was over. We thought you'd never preach again." There ain't no mistakes with God. Say amen to me. There is no mistakes with God. And by the way, when I got a hold of this, he says, "My times are in thine hands. If there'd have been a titanium vault around my son by a foot and a half thick, it would have not kept him from leaving this world. My times are in thine hands." God knows the date of your birth. He knows the day you'll leave this world. Okay, let's go back. I thought about how, go back to Psalm 140, go back to Psalm 42. The provision. How does God, I'm going to show you, this is personal now. How do you get down when you're up? When you get up, how do you get up when you get down? How do you do that, brother sister? This went on in our life till. Did you know what I had to do on my front door? I don't like this, but I had to do it. We put a thing on the front door. Family in grief. I didn't like doing that. But there's so many people that came. And about the time that I thought I was a whole to myself, and I'd lose it again. It's just like your mama used to say, "Quit picking at that scab." Y'all remember that? About the time it would scab over to a little bit till I could get some kind of sanity in my mind, scab would be tore off again. I scheduled to go preach this meeting 8 days after Nathan died. I ain't told too many people this. They told me, they said, "Brother, sister, you ain't got no business preaching." But somehow or another, it's like when you get on a horse and a horse throws you off, if you don't get back on, somehow or another, you get gun shy. I went to hell to that meeting and look up here, 8 people got saved. Was I right or wrong in going? 8 people got saved. But I ain't told too many people this. In order for me to go to that church, Brother Jay, I had to go right past the road where my boy was killed. I had to go right past the road where my boy was killed. That's the hardest thing I ever done in my life is when I went past that road and seen where my boy exited this world into the other world. Boy, I'm so glad God heals the broken in heart. Now, sometimes I still don't handle it. Sometimes I do not handle it. Let me tell you this one. My boy Nathan said, "Daddy, Dad, I want to go." Chris, my oldest boy, was Nathan's idol. My boy Chris, he's the most affluent. You talk about a proficient pianist, is my son. He's gifted. He can just play anything. Man, sometimes he brags about this junk and I bust his bubble. They do warm up for the Judds and they do Ricky Skaggs and all that bunch. I said, "Well, son, what do you got when you get up there?" "Nothing." Say amen. I got to get back to Nathan. Nathan got out of high school. And he said, "Daddy, I want to go to Arizona." Oh, that broke my heart. That broke my heart. I said, "Son, why do you want to go to Arizona?" He said, "I want to see Chris. That's my oldest boy." I said, "Well, son," he had the money for his plane fare. But he said, "Dad, I don't want to fly no plane." He said, "Daddy, I want to ride a bus." His mother and I took him 3 days later over to London and put him on a Greyhound bus. I stood there and my heart breaking inside of me. I watched my son get on a Greyhound bus headed to Arizona. Man, my heart breaking inside of me. Hadn't thought about it, and I'd pushed it out of my mind until I was down there with Brother Gene's son over at Portland, Tennessee. And I come out, got done preaching, headed back to Somerset. Guess what was in front of me? a big old Greyhound bus. And all of a sudden, I seen that Greyhound bus and my heart broke again. My heart literally sank down inside of me again. I could see my boy. I could see my baby boy. Could I tell you something? Unless you've lost a child, don't tell me you know how I feel. Because you don't know. Don't walk up to Brother Lawrence and say, "No, I know how you feel. You lost your mother." Until you've lost your mother, you have no idea how he feels. Now let me show you not only the problem with this, now I'm talking about me, but now I want to show you the provision. Look in your Bible. He healeth the broken in heart. Number one, look in your Bible, please. Watch this. God is our fellowship. Amen. I love being around Brother Jay. I love tormenting Brother Noble. What did I do? Something wrong then? Tormenting him? He needs to be tormented. That nerd does too. Can you just imagine, Brother Jay, what kind of time we're going to have in heaven together? Amen. Do y'all ever think like that? Yeah. Can you imagine what kind of time, if we can have this good a time fellowship together down here, and God is our fellowship, say amen, wait till we get to heaven together, amen. God's our fellowship. We're talking about how God provides. Number two, now watch this. Drop down. Let me show you this. Look down, if you would, in your Bible, verse 9. I will say unto God my rock. Now watch this. Not only is God our fellowship, but thank God, hey, he's our rock, he's our foundation, amen. Things may be bad out there. I told somebody, I know this don't sit very good with people either. What makes you think that God's going to give us a godly president? What makes you think that? America's not repented. If we'd really repented toward God, we'd have done with abortion. If we really repented toward God, there'd be a different spiritual change in our lives. Hello. So what I'm saying is, I know things are bad. And by the way, don't anybody ever stop to think how bad it's going to be 2 years down the road. I personally believe this. I believe 2008 is the most crucial year in America. I really believe that. I can show you why, but not tonight. So listen to this. God is our fellowship. Would you say amen? And then secondly, write this down. The rock. Thank God he's our rock. He's our foundation. Amen. Lord God, you can't sink when you're standing on the rock. Everybody thinks I'm going down, but I'm going up. Third thing, watch this. Watch this. God is our future. Three times he talks to his soul. Look at this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Do y'all ever just have a good talk? You know what? His crazy son-in-law, not Sharon's, his. He said, "Preacher, you got a Bluetooth?" No, what is it, a Bluetooth? What? Who's got one of them things? Show it to me. I want to see what a Bluetooth is. Somebody show me right quick. I'm not going to jump on you. Who's got one of them? Y'all are afraid of me. Word, give it to me. I want to see the thing. Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that thing they hang from their ear. What is that, brother? What have you seen going down the road and they're talking up a storm and you don't look at this, you know what? They're just talking up a storm, but their lips is moving, but hey, they're talking. They've grafted one on their ear. Blue what? Why did they call it a Bluetooth? My brother, God bless his heart. Y'all need to meet my brother. My brother, Brother Larry, he's got 6 grandkids just like I've got. He get in on part of the conversation. Faye, his wife, was talking to their daughter, is talking about getting their grandson. He said, all my brother heard was this thing called not the MP3, what's that other thing? My iPod. My brother said, "You telling me he don't need no iPod hanging from his eyebrow?" I thought I'd die. I said, "Bobby, I don't believe that's where the iPods go." He said, "Honestly, that..." Shut up, Melvin. But I know y'all been to seen that. You travel down the road, and their lips is just moving, and they're talking, but they're talking to that thing that's grafted on their ear. Bluetooth? I don't believe I want no Bluetooth. Say amen. But my point is, watch this. God is our rock. He's our fellowship. He's our future. I don't know how much you're getting out of this, but notice in your Bible, 3 times he's talking to his soul. Did y'all get that? Look in your Bible. Brother, sister, how do you get up when you're down? Sure you have. Realizing that God's our fellowship. Realizing He's our very foundation. He's a rock. And realizing that God's our future. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the Independents. God's our future. Amen, brother, sister. You know, I see people, and it disturbs me to no end. You think it don't bother me? I'm down in Florida every year of my life. At Fort Myers, Florida. Great church. But here's what a lot of people don't realize. Y'all remember when them hurricanes, two of them come back to back? He lost 100 people. All of the snowbirds went back up here to where they come from. They took 100 people out of his church just like that. How would you like to go home and not have a home? Well, that'd be a rough bullet to bat, wouldn't it? Look at our economy. I read this to where that 2 million homes will go into foreclosure in the next 9 months. Man, that's a lot of people without homes. Boy, I seen that on the TV and my heart broke. It showed them evicting that woman, a constable. It showed him evicting them, that wife and two kids from their home. Boy, that broke my heart. I know our economy's in bad shape. I know that. I know that gas is, and by the way, in Somerset, it's $3.69 a gallon. Hey, I know milk's almost $4 a gallon. I know price, I understand all that. But what I'm trying to get you to see, things may be bad, but God is our future, amen. Amen. How would the God we get so excited about that we'd tell everybody? Can I ask you a question? When people see you, would they want what you got? Most people, they're so beat down. That's a God's honest truth if I've ever told them that. Anybody outside of me ever have problems with your kids? How many of you? Problem with your kids. You get one straightened out, the other ones fell out. Get this one straightened out, the other ones fell out. It's just a constant thing, picking them all up. At least I'm honest. Sometimes I have problems. But if God's my future, Miss Betty, and He healeth the broken in heart, He's our future, Miss Betty. Do you know that? I'll guarantee you there's people sitting here tonight. Guess what's up? That brother, Noble, and he's probably going to retire. Probably never did start, but Brother Don over there, he's going to retire. Did you know there's people, this weighs on their mind? What if Social Security goes belly up? What if, what if, what if? I mean, you hear this. I mean, God's people. What if? They're always living in that summarization of if. What if, what if, what if? Folks, listen to me. How do you get up when you're down? Is realizing that God is our future. That He's our fellowship. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Well, what if I do go to the hospital with a broken sprain? What if I do have a stroke? Not without the knowledge of God. Say amen to me. What if I have a massive heart attack? Not without the knowledge of God. God's my future, thank God. He's my fellowship. The lessons I'm trying to show you tonight is what I've learned, boy, from going through some dark valleys. Boy, I got a preacher friend. God bless his heart. You talk about going through some dark valleys. I could spend the next 2 hours just telling you some of the things that's going on in preachers' lives. It's heartbreaking. I got a preacher. I'll tell you this, we'll close. His wife said, I don't want to be married to a preacher anymore. She's been married 25 years. Guess what she done? Packed her clothes, just a few of them, and left, and he's not seen her since then. Children's raised. She's not been back to the home. He's tried to be reconciled with her. She will not reconcile. Well, can you, and by the way, this man's a godly man. What's going on in people's lives? Well, that stuff affects me. Yeah, it does. What if? What if? You better get you something to hang on today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. Personally, I believe we're in for some rough times. Hey, y'all got a good church. And probably, most of you, just like a lot of churches, you just take it for granted. How do you get up, Brother Sisson, when you're down? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.